I just see that he popped up in the lobby, and we are going to catch up on what he's got going on now and what's going on in his life and some things that he wants to share. And yeah, so let's get it cracking. Let me let him in. What's happening, brother?
What's happening? Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Good. Yeah.
What's that going on in the background? How you doing?
And my little personal tapestry, I couldn't get the green screen thing going on. So I was like, I got to do something. I can't just have a wall, you know, a mint green wall back here.
Well, we're going to jump right into it. I was doing a little intro before you popped up, and then I saw you waiting in the lobby. I decided to bring you on in. And yeah, so.
Bless your heart for, you know, clicking over.
Well, hey, it ain't no show without them, y'all, so.
How's it going?
No show at all. I could just be jaw jacking, but no, it's about you and catching up with you and what you got going on. So
it's about us. That's weird when it's about me. I don't like it being about me.
Okay, well, we're going to see.
It's too much pressure.
Oh, no pressure. No pressure at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So since it's been a minute, it's been actually since last year, I think. Now it's been a year since I had you on the podcast. It's been a year for me.
Has it really been a year?
I think it was last year, November, December, somewhere around in there. Or was it January? Was it this year, earlier this year? It's been a minute.
Mind you, I really don't know, but I'm like a year? Like, I don't know. I would say maybe January.
Okay, possibly. That might be. I think it was last year. I have to take a look, but yeah, so that was last year that we did the podcast. But at any rate, we're here now, and introduce yourself to everybody, for anybody who may not have actually watched that podcast. Let's just act as if you're brand new. So what would you like the people to know about you, sir?
That's right. We record, and I got to remember, I get to talk to you like we talk regular. I was going by Brother Dev, but I'm not going by Brother Dev no more. I'm going, Pierre is my middle name. You know, I feel like I'm transitioning to something else. So, Pierre, I'm a psychedelic integration coach. And, you know, we met on a highly sensitive people HSP tip. You know what I mean? So, I qualify for that as well. So, I would say I'm an advocate, even though I'm not pushing it, but I feel like connecting with you. It reminds me of how important that is to be a part of how I show up. So I'm grateful for that. And yeah, I enjoy helping people process and integrate their life-changing experiences, even if it's not with psychedelics. But psychedelics is, you know, it's kind of the next step for a lot of people. And it can be very vulnerable. Position for a lot. So I like to allow my nurturing nature to allow me to help people in that area. And it's been very rewarding for me.
So I wrote down a few extra questions while I was starting to, and I wanted to know what got you started in the world of psilocybin. If you want to share your anything that you'd like to share about your first experiences or.
Oh, absolutely. I want to say my own personal journey for self-discovery. You know, I had a career. I was living a good life on a ship, traveling, you know, didn't have to worry about money. I was just everything I ever wanted. I felt like I had everything except something was missing. And I was seeking. I became an official seeker. And from that, I came across mushrooms. And once I finally came across the mushrooms, it was an experience that I'll never forget. And it kept showing me more about myself. It kept reminding me and validating why I needed to seek in the first place. And the more I did, you know, by the time I got to the heroic dose, that's when I started having like shamanic experiences. That's when it like really got deep. You know, it was like, okay, you know, you're going to have to go through some stuff. You're going to have to release some stuff. You're going to have to dig deeper than you've ever imagined. And from that, it became clear, like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm here to do, to help other people with my experiences, because my experiences have been really unique, you know, especially being an HSP, right? I didn't know I was an HSP when I first started doing it. I didn't know nothing about none of that. I didn't know nothing about psychology, you know, Trump. I didn't know nothing. I just was soul searching. And from my searching and doing my own work, you know, shadow work, Sankofa, it put me in some very vulnerable places, uncomfortable places, which allowed me to kind of go back and rewrite it and get the gem from it, and also show me more of like, this is what you're really here to do. I know you want to do all, have all this money and, you know, business, and, you know, I had a big dreams. And but once I started to tap in, it started to show me like, you know, you got the right idea, but to step fully into what you're here to do, you're going to have to release a lot of programmings. And, you know, I had an identity crisis. Some people call it dark night of the soul, depending on which practice you're in. That's relative, you know, irrelevant. But to keep it simple, you know, an identity crisis, which was very scary for me because I was so used to identifying with, you know, my job, my money, you know, my family, my history. And once that was no longer there, I had to like really, I had to seek beyond the physical to help me understand who I am and what I am versus who I am. And more so now about what I am versus who I am, because you can get lost in the sauce with who you are. It just don't stop. You know, your ancestors, you know, your indigenous, you know, then you go back and you may got some African in there. You may have some little Irish in there, you know, who knows? But when it comes to what you are, you're just focusing on, okay, well, what's special about you? And is that something you're able to bring forth for other people to tap into what's special about them? And that's what's special about what I do, is I get to help people what I was seeking the entire time.
Okay. So do you ask questions so that those that you're helping realize for themselves what they are? Or do you share anything that you may see that they may not see to help them kind of, I guess, realize what they are with a little help? I mean, eventually they're going to have to figure it out for themselves. But if you see something, do you share that or do you withhold that because you don't want to, you know, put an influence on that person unnecessarily?
That's a really good question, because ultimately the goal is for me to get out of the way and for them to see, right? For them to tap into that. And when I see something, you know, I have to have discipline. I can't like, that's not my job to give them the answers, right? My job is to see it. Oh, I see what you're looking for. I may even know, I can even pinpoint it, but I'm trying to ask you the right questions, right? To get you to see it. So that way you're building, you're strengthening your relationship with your experience. So that way you're not seeking for me to validate you. I'm just here to create a safe container for you to validate yourself. And of course, I don't want you to jump, you know, if you come across with some solution or you come across something that is can harm you, then my job is to steer you away from the harm, right? And lead you to that part of you that wants the best for you.
So how do you attract those people that are seeking? Is it just those that are local to you, or do you find them online, or should they find you online? How does that normally work?
Yeah. When I first started, I still feel kind of fresh. I get in it and then I go into my little cave and do my own little work. But when I first started, I was mostly focused on, you know, my neighborhood. Like when I got the signal, like, oh, this is what you're here to do, it just pointed me to my neighborhood, because I was raised in such a tough neighborhood. I was like, man, if I have all this to heal, I know people who I felt like had circumstances was way more unfortunate than mine. So that's where I started off, you know, and I was so excited. People I went to school with, you know, or in my neighborhood, or even Oakland, anywhere in the Bay Area. So it slowly started. Then people started to recommend me, and I started working with people like miles away. However, where I'm at now, it was kind of like an initiation. That was what my driving force to work with certain people. But now I am stepping into working with people from all over, right? There's no discrimination. If you feel like I can help you, you can be in China, you know? Well, we need a translator. We'll do what we got to do. But I want to branch out. I feel like I was kind of, I'm not going to say I was stuck focusing on the locals, right? But I would say I felt like it was like a, I'm going to say, just a chapter. It was an important chapter because I was just so passionate about helping people that look like me, because I can relate to, you know, that's what I can relate to the most. But now when it comes to this experience, it's the way I see it is like, it's kind of like a rebirth, you know? So no matter who you are or what you believe, your programming and what you think you know can really shatter your whole world. And that has nothing to do with your culture, right? It's like becoming a child again. So the way I see it, I treat people like a child and try to nurture them into them becoming becoming more of who they really are and being okay with letting go the parts of them that they've held on to for so long, you know? So, yeah.
So your first time you were on the ship, you said you were, I guess, military, prior military, you were on a ship traveling. And what about your experiences left you unfulfilled that you went seeking? Was there anything in particular that was going on in your life at that time that, like you said, you had no worries about funds and, you know, you're traveling and seeing the world. So what made you feel unfulfilled in whatever area that you were feeling that way?
Mm-hmm. I was on military ships and I was more of a, I was a civilian, you know, so I worked with the military.
Okay.
But the thing is, just because I was on a, if a torpedo comes, they don't care if I'm a civilian. We all get it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So anyway, shout out to the, you know, the RIP to the, you know, the merchant seamen who was in the war before, who, you know, had to suffer for that. But anywho, what happened was things were too great, to be honest with you. Things were going too good. I was living life, traveling. I'm everywhere, you know, I'm living the life, you know, I'm your favorite uncle, cousin, you know, I'm a holiday, kind of like a holiday cousin, right? Because I come home with money in my pocket, which I want y'all need some shoes, which I need, right? And that was okay. My relationship going back and forth. But I got to a point where I partied so much. I've done more than I can ever do. You know, I got money in the bank. I was getting to a point where I was kind of woke, right? I was becoming more aware of, you know, the matrix that we live in. I started watching like Hidden Colors. You know, I'm already kind of rebelling against religion. So I felt like I reached a glass ceiling because I felt like I had everything, but something was missing. And I think a lot of that has to do with the food that I was eating. I was overweight. I was doing a lot of drinking and I was eating. On the ship, you eat 3 times a day. You know, they give you 3 meals. I don't even eat that much no more. Maybe twice a day. I try to eat once a day. And of course, me being who I am, you know, I was I'm a lover, not a fighter. So, you know, I got a chance to experience circumstances with beautiful women, you know, all over the world. And it really opened my eyes to like my perspective, you know, the things that I thought I want. I was like, no, I want more. I want more for myself. And I'm not going to be able to get it working for nobody. Because at the end of the day, even though I'm making good money, you know, I'm, once I sign and I'm on that ship, I belong in them at the end of the day. So I just had this realization, like something in me was like, you know, you're not connected. I didn't feel connected to God anymore. I didn't feel connected to Source like I used to. I felt like I had everything but that. And it wasn't a good place to be. Even though I had the money, like I had everything, but I was just missing that. Mm.
So your first experience, I'm just curious, were you by yourself? Did you have someone to help facilitate your first journey? Or, you know, did you just take it alone?
My first experience was in Thailand and it was a little experience. You know, it was the guy, I seen someone else come in and acquire some. And I was already doing my research and he gave me a sample and I tried it and it was decent. So it helped me get over the fear of what could happen. But the next time I did it, well, I couldn't find it, but I did it and I did it fairly a small amount, maybe 1.5 grams. And I was by myself. I was living with my godmom at the time. She was there, but I was pretty much by myself. And when I took it, I was ready. When I said I was ready, I searched everywhere, and I was just so eager to find it. I finally found it. Mm-hmm. And once I did it, I just felt like this hug from my ancestors, you know, like the universe is like, finally, what took you so long? You know, feeling that, mind you, I'm seeking, right? I'm seeking for that. So I finally get it. And I'm just like blown away, smiling ear from ear. I'm looking, you hear some people talk about, they look in the mirror and they see stuff. And it was nothing but joy for me. Like it was just my eyes, I couldn't stop smiling. Every thought that I had was confirming everything that I ever wanted. Every question that I had was being doctored by answer. And it was amazing. So from that day on, it was like a marriage. You know what I mean? I was just like, people have to try this, you know? Mm-hmm. And mind you, I think this is important too, though. I had changed my lifestyle. So I'm eating better, you're detoxing, doing yoga, I'm doing sun gazing. I'm seeking, right? I'm trying to connect. So mushrooms meet you where you are. You know what I mean? So I was in a space to really receive it. And I think that really played a huge part of me having such a amazing first experience by myself.
So, okay. So you just started out just microdosing. You didn't go straight to the hero dose.
No. So 1.5 grams, 1.5, that's definitely not a micro. You know, that's like a, yeah, I would say yeah. It's like a, because normally 1 gram for someone who's starting is like the average, you know. So 1.5 was, it was a good dose. It wasn't too much, but it was enough for me to feel it, to have an experience.
Okay.
So I want to say from there, then I did 3. Then after 3, I think I did 4. And then after 4, I think I did 5. So I slowly just made my way up.
Okay. So did you find any difference in your experience the higher your dosage? Or was your experience consistently the same, if that makes any sense?
There's definitely levels, each level, right? I like to look at it as like dimensions, right? So the more you take, the kind of like the more dimensions, the higher your vibe, the more you are tapping into, right? Mm. So it was definitely different experiences. You know, my 3 gram experience, I remember I was very intentional too. I went to Lake Merritt and it was a sunny day and there was this labyrinth. And, you know, I kind of sat down and I took my shirt off and I was just sun gazing. You know, and I just felt the sun communicating with my skin and thought every thought. I didn't have any like bad experiences. It was just all amazingness. It was just all discovering more of who I am. And so it did gradually get more and more. Once I got to, so my 5 gram experience, it was a shamanic experience, I would say. Like I heard drums. I felt called to pray for people. You know, I couldn't sit down. I was having it was an experience that allowed whoever I thought I was to get out the way and allow this spiritual experience to happen. Now, I did that by myself, but for some reason, I realized my experiences are different depending on the temperature. And that day I had the heater up. I was really warm. I was under the covers and I was just there and just had my eyes closed the entire time. And it was very, as I'm having these experiences, it's just validating me more and more. And it wasn't until I did the 7 month, when I did my 7 gram experience,
what?
That was different from all of them. Okay.
Wow. And, okay.
Yeah, that experience, I was outside. I did 7 and I felt connected to everything. I was sitting outside. I could see the bay and I was outside too. My 5 gram, I was inside. So I was mostly going within myself, but with the 7 gram, I was outside. I felt connected to everything. The girl that I was dating at the time, you know, I remember calling her because I had to call somebody. And I remember telling her, it's like, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. Like, if I ever question it, it would just say, you already know. I remember crying. I remember crying for the pain of the world. I felt connected to all the pain and suffering that was going on. It started to really just open me up and expand me, right? Because as a man, I'm dealing with whatever I've been programmed to be as far as like being masculine and, you know, being very grounded. It just allowed me to I guess, tap more into my sensitive side, because my sensitive side is the side that allows me to care as much as I did. You know what I mean? It allowed me to want to help people to that degree. So the more I did, the more it opened me up and expanded me. And I will say this, there's one time I did 7 grams, and it showed me some things on a spiritual level. I consider myself a shamanic practitioner, and the work that I do, it has a way of opening me up and strengthening my psychic abilities and my spiritual abilities. So I've came in contact with many different things, you know, and these forces are not necessarily, they can't really hurt you or harm you, which is good to know. However, if you have a spiritual gift, if you have, you know, which many people do, is a chance that psychedelics, especially mushrooms, can activate them. And you can tap into things, and you may become more aware of things that, if no one has really prepared you for, can cause you to think that something's wrong, or it's something that's scary, when really it's just a thing that now you're just aware of. And especially, and I'll say this, especially if you've been programmed with religion, especially Christianity, if you're a Christian and, you know, it's a box, right? Puts you in a box and say, everything in here is good. This is God. This is Jesus. You know, all this other stuff, that's the devil, you know? So when you experience something that's not in that box, it can automatically be associated with evil, when really it's just something else. It may not be evil or good. It could just be a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the more I do, the more I tap in. I mean, now I've expanded, so I don't need a lot to tap in. But as I was expanding, the more I was doing, the more I was tapping into.
Now, do you do, when you are on your journey or in preparation for your journey, do you refrain from eating? Do you eat a big meal and, you know, to kind of balance out the queasy? And I don't know that you get queasy, but I tend to get a little queasy, and I think it really doesn't necessarily matter whether I eat something or whether I don't. My experience has been pretty much the same. I know how it starts. I know what's about. Oh, it's coming, and I'll get that queasy, you know, kind of feeling. I personally can't. I've never done any of psilocybin and had my eyes open. I can't take it. I'm just that sensitive that I got to be horizontal, and I got to have something over my eyes to kind of calm me down. And yeah, I can't take the lights, even just during the day, just in an apartment. If it's daytime, I can't take the lights or the sunshine. That's a little too intense. Too intense.
Right. It's a lot. you know. So before I answer your question, I know some people that's taken psilocybin and they don't have to wear glasses. They like, their eyesight gets better. They get sensitive. I prefer fasted on an empty stomach, personally. Food, you know, the medicine, the plant medicine likes to, I would say, the whatever it's in there, it's got to fight through it. I highly encourage people to fast and detox prior, maybe days prior, so that way you can come and you show up and your body's not digesting anything. I like to show up with, it's just me and it. You know, and you'll come to find, you notice, like, or at least for me, you know, by time, even if I do it, I'm hungry, you know, within my experience, I'm so deep into my experience where I'm not really focused on food. My most profound experience is definitely on an empty stomach.
I think mine too. The first real experience. I'm not kind of microdosed. I just kind of, I've always done at least four grams, 4.5. Yeah.
Yeah. So you said microdose, you said 4 grams or?
No, I've never personally microdosed. I'll take that back. When I first was trying to find my own level, and actually seeking to where I could procure some, I was given different amounts to start. So that was kind of like, well, I don't really know what a hero dose is right now. So someone's like, hey, here, I got some. I'm not going to, you know, use this. So here, I know you're seeking, so you can try it. I don't know how potent it is because it was in my, refrigerator. But so the first time it was chocolates. And, you know, I was like, okay, I can feel something, but I didn't know what I was supposed to be feeling. And the next thing was natural, but again, it had been sitting for a while somewhere, so it wasn't as potent. And then I met Eric, the one that I told you about, through someone else, and he's a cultivator. And that was more like, okay, yeah, this is, I cultivate this, so yeah. This is this particular strain. Okay, do your research, figure out, okay, yeah, let me try that. And I think my very first true experience was life-changing. That's all. Definitely life-changing. I mean, the cries, the yawns, the seeing parts of myself. Like I said, I think I told you last year, having a conversation with my unborn child, and, you know, that blew my mind. It was like, what? Okay. Just being so apologetic, not unapologetic, but just please forgive me. You know, please forgive me for the act that I did. And, you know, just, and it had been on me, when I say weighing on me, since what year was that? 90. So that much time of, you know, milestones passing and, you know, prior to mushrooms, but just milestones passing and me thinking he or she would have been 16 or he or she would have been 20 or, you know, and just that angst on me, that inability for me to forgive myself, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just that, when I say life-changing for me, was, well, nobody knows that I'm doing this and I don't trust anybody to be on this journey with me. I trust me because I know that I've been through a lot of stuff on my own and I trust me. So we gonna do this. And it was a calm setting. It was right there on the beach, right there by Dotwala Beach by the airport. And it was a sunny day. And yeah, it was a lot. I was crying, was laughing, started out laughter was just abundant, and then just from abundance of laughter to, oh my god, I can't stop crying.
Open you up, huh?
it opened me up, and then it was the nausea, and then it's like, okay, I'm standing up, okay, all right, okay, yeah, you need to lay down, okay, I'll lay back down, okay. And when the world stopped, like you said, that having that connection with humanity, and I think that was my second time where I just had that experience of, I'm aware of my surroundings, but I'm in and out, I'm yawning, I'm out, I wake up, I don't know what time it is, it feels like it could have been 2 hours, it may have been just 2 seconds, and I just remember being where I was on the beach, but it was like I was hovering above. Like I was out in space, everything was black, and I'm looking down on everything. Like I'm floating, but I don't hear anything. I'm aware that I'm in my van. I can hear, and that's wild that I can hear the ocean, you know, 200 feet from my van, but I'm also looking down on what I understand to be all of humanity. And it's like nothing's moving. There's no sound, but the sound in my head. And as I come to, I'm like, okay, am I dead? Okay, well, even if that was the case, it was like, I'm wherever I am, I'm ready for this. Let's do it. Let's just wherever this is about to take me, and I'm cognizant of where I am, wherever this is, I'm ready for the trip. Let's go. And it was the most exhilarating. The only other time that I felt that exhilarated was when I jumped out of an airplane. It was just like that. Oh, I want to do this again. No drug, no high. No, it was the second best high I'd ever had. Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. Yeah, you know, I agree. I think other people should, within reason. I mean, if you got other issues going on, you might want to, I don't know if that would, you know, make it worse for you or better, but I think more people should experience it. I do. Yeah.
First of all, you know, I would say definitely, you know, I commend you for letting go and allowing it to happen. And for those who may be experiencing some type of like turbulence in their life, I think this is still good. They just have to know how to do it, right? And I think that's where I come in at, right? Because even though I'm helping people integrate, I help people prepare for it, which is what I love too. I love working with people who had a bad experience. And then as they tell me their story, I'm like, okay, that's that, you did that wrong. We ain't gonna do that, none of that. And then see it as a honorable challenge to help someone transmute something that wasn't so great into something that's actually exhilarating and profound, right? And connected to where they could, you know, tap into those parts of them. So I'm biased. I believe Eric, I don't care who you are, but here's the thing, you know, if I'm working with you, I ain't going to be biased. I don't care what's going on with you. I believe from my research and from the methods that I use, you could have a safe, profound experience. The thing is, some people do it and they're not in the right space. They're at a party. They got other people going on. There's dogs barking. There's prostitutes on the corner. You know what I mean? Like, no, you need to be in the right environment because you're sensitive to everything now. All that stuff you're sensitive to. You know, you might see a homeless person and just, now you feeling for the homeless, you know, and who knows what kind of energy these people have on them, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So
as long as you're with someone who understands, not just from, because it's bigger than mental health, right? You have some people who only focus on the mental and depression, anxiety, that's cool. But some of these people are spiritually gifted. So what do you do when they're not like they're there, but they're telling you they're hovering over everything? You know what I mean? Like and here's the thing too. And this is when it gets a little deep, right? Everybody has their own like set of spiritual assistants. You know, you got your spirit guides, you know, source, whatever higher power you're connected to. You have your higher self, your higher assistants. You have your, I think that's ancestors, right? And everybody don't have the same ancestors. So you have like a team of assistants that's been waiting to get through to you, right? So this allows them to get through. And I would like to say when things come up that's been weighing on you, I see that as your spiritual team saying, okay, we need you to work on this because this is keeping you from stepping into a part of you that this can't go with you. This can't go along, right? So when things pop up, it's just popping up so you can work with it, so you can clear it, so it doesn't have to be an anchor in your life, you know? And a lot of people got a lot of anchors in their life, you know? So as long as you're ready to face whatever your spiritual team and I'll just say your higher self, whatever spiritual assistance that you have that wants the best for you, be ready for them to put what you need to deal with in your face. And if you have a guide, you know, they can prepare you for that, you know? I wanted to ask you, when you started, it's funny because a lot of my cries is, you know, it's like you laugh. I've laughed and cried at the same time. I've had some of the craziest experiences. But I wanted to ask you, did you feel like there was a bit of resistance when it was time to cry?
No, none at all. No, because I was, like I said, maybe I would have felt that way if I had someone there that I, you know, didn't really trust to be my guide. But because it was just me by myself, yeah, it was like, whatever, I was so ready for the journey. And I had been wanting to do this. I started looking. I didn't do this until 2020, but I remember asking my mom, my biological mother, in 2017. And I mentioned it to her and I was like, hey, I really want to try mushrooms. And at the time she was like, no. And I was like, well, I don't trust anybody to be with me but you. And, you know, will you come to California? Will you, you know, she came, but this was prior to her coming. And I said, I don't trust you. I know you. I'm comfortable with you. Will you do this? And she was just so adamant, like, no, you know, I don't think so. And then it took someone else having a conversation with her to say, yeah. And then it was like, what? You want to do mushrooms? I thought you did. So to answer your question in a long way, no, I'm so comfortable with myself that whatever came up and came out, it was, I was ready for it all. At that point, like you said, I've been seeking a long time. And once I got the dosage that I got from Eric, I was ready. I was like, okay, it wasn't like he gave it to me and I went right in. It was like, okay, let me prepare. I might have got it, you know, and then I waited a week until my schedule was right, that I had enough time off to, you know, because I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know how long I was going to be, you know, in that situation. So I wanted to give myself at least 2 days off, 2 or 3 days off. And yeah, it was okay. Whatever's about to happen, let's go. And, you know, I informed a few people, hey, I'm about to do this just so that you know this is where I'm at. But other than that, it was, I'm in it until it's over. And the first time, like I said, it was just the experience of all these damn yawns and, you know, just the exhilaration and just the energy. And then just for me, it was just for the day, it was just a roller coaster ride of emotions and just, oh gosh, how long is this yawning going to go on? And then I'm laughing through the yawns and I'm thinking about crazy stuff. And and then I'll just break out and start crying. And so, yeah, I didn't know what to expect. So there was no hesitation. None of that. Yeah. None of that.
You was ready.
Each and every time I'm open. I'm open. Yeah, I've always just
I love to hear it. I love to hear it because that's the epitome. Like, it's really just being ready for the experience. And it's something about when you try to get it and you finally get it, like, it's like you're over ready now. Like, you go into it like, yeah, you surrender, you allow it to be. And I think that's something a lot of people deal with when they're not ready. It's a fight. You know, they're not comfortable to allow themselves to go through those things, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I guess the best kind of example is like getting on a roller coaster and not being comfortable on the roller coaster. My experience is throw my hands up and let's just however many turns we take, upside down, flip, whatever, just let's do it. Yeah, my hands are in the air.
That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned I think on one of your posts, you asked a question about crying or something like that. And so I'm going to look at some of these questions that we have here. And before I do that, I want to ask, because you mentioned that you didn't know that you were an HSP. Do you think that, before I say, do you think that, did you, going on the journey of your psilocybin journey, did that help you to understand that you were an HSP, or did you learn that before you started the psilocybin journey?
I'm going to say I was really green before I started. Like, I knew, you know, I have a Pisces sun, so I would go off of that. You know what I mean? You know, I could be sensitive, this and that and the third, but I wasn't thinking HSP, right? I want to say it wasn't until I started to indulge. Because once I started indulging, it started taking me to my past. And then when I went to my past, I was like, oh, and then I had to do a little research. It's funny, like when you're on a path, you research one thing and you a lot of other stuff come up, right? And, you know, I may have come across HSPs many times when I was looking for other things, but somehow I eventually focused on an HSP, realized, oh my God, that's kind of what I was dealing with. But you know, it was such unique because of my upbringing and the neighborhood that I was in. So it was like a jungle. So you don't want to walk around, you know, being an HSP. You want to walk around with the type of persona that allow people to leave you alone, at least the majority of them, right? Some of them gonna call you bluff, but for the most part, you know, it's about survival. So I wasn't in a space to like, and even in home, you know, at home, like it was about Jesus, like HSP, nothing, you know, get in the altar line, you know what I mean? Have Jesus fix it. So these wasn't the type of discussions we, you know, yeah. I could explore. So it wasn't until after I indulged where it all started to make sense.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure how to, I guess, segue into some of these questions that we have. But when I said that I cry, let me ask, when you, your question back to me was it hard for me to do that, or was there any resistance? Why did you ask me that?
This is very common.
To resist the cry? I didn't really. Why do you think that is?
Programming, conditioning. Some people are, you know, when you tough so long, you know what I mean? If you got to be tough all the time, crying is a skill, if you ask me. I think it's a skill. The more you allow yourself to cry, the more you normally cry, right?
Yeah,
I feel like the people who hold their cry in for so long, it's like they build a muscle just for that thing, right? And they become good at, they like cut themselves off from feeling, right?
Some
people can't cry. Like, I've met people that like, I wish I could cry, but I just can't. So there is something, the way I look at it, that's how I look at it, right? I like to simplify things as much as possible. So for me to simplify it, I have to look at nature, right? And when we look at nature, we can go back to children. So when you're a baby, you cry. Every baby cries. So what keeps people from crying? Something happened where they couldn't cry no more, and they got good at not crying. And then they get to a point where, you know, they've built such a identity, or they've built such a toughness, or callous, I like to say, over their hearts, you know, to where crying isn't as accessible to them. And, you know, for good reason, like, for example, you know, let's just take a gangbanger, you know what I mean? You know, he's got to be tough, fool. You know what I mean? We don't cry over here. You know what I mean? Like, if you cry, we can't trust you now. So, you know, I'm pretty sure people in the military cry, but you got to be, you know, if you a part of, you know, they have the Navy SEALs, you know, you could be in the Army or you could be in the Navy, but you got those people who like the toughest of the toughest, right?
Uh-huh.
So you have some of these people in real life. They may not necessarily be in the military, but you got some people who are just born to be tough. And it's not that that's a negative thing. It's just their conditioning and their programming and their environment molded them into someone who can't express that. And here's the thing. When you don't cry, that means your heart's closed, right? Because when your heart opens, you're vulnerable. Yes. Crying equals vulnerability. And when you're used to being tough, vulnerability is one of some people, I'm pretty sure, are just afraid to be vulnerable. They don't want to be looked at as weak. You know, they don't want, especially the men. But I've met women like this too. Mostly black women. You know, we got some really tough black women in the world, you know, and the things that they went through. So for me, don't get me wrong, it wasn't necessarily easy for me to cry when I first started. You know, there was some resistance because of my programming and me being a man and masculine, but that's when the more I did it, you know, the more it showed me, like, stop trying to be something you're not, you know. I was trying to be this leader, you know. I was trying to be or represent something. Like, I wanted to push a movement. And within this movement, within this idea of me being a leader, you know, I'm aware of all the opposition, all the things someone like me would face, you know. So I felt like I need to have tough skin, right? And because of family members, friends, my environment, you know, I would love to address people on a sensitive note, but people don't understand sensitivity. You know, they're quick to judge you and not listen to you unless you say it with some authority, right? Mm-hmm. The thing with authority freak energy is not the same as nurturing energy. Nurturing is soft and subtle, but if you have a hard-headed, you know, sibling or whatever, or child or somebody who you have to keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over again, you may switch into a part of you you don't want to have to be. The thing is, a lot of people are like that all the time. And there's a lot of HSPs that don't know that HSPs because their environment and society has caused them to have to shut that down, I believe. So for me, you know, I would say, you know, I encourage everyone to cry. And I think this is important to mention because this is the HSPs, you know, this is the HSP platform. So for anyone who is sensitive, for anyone who has the ability to cry, it's you're born to cry. Like, you're born to express your emotions. You crying is just a way of, like, releasing. It's like a release valve, right? It keeps you from killing people. I feel there would be a lot less people in jail if they gave themselves permission to cry, you to know? Cry. Yeah. So, yeah, I emphasize that a bit much, but, you know, that's kind of the gist of it, you know, crying.
Well, do you find that if you're working with someone and they're open enough to go on a psilocybin journey with you, do you find it's easier to get them to that place where they release, or is it even stronger of a fight to get them to, you know, be less hesitant in that moment? Or is it that just seems weird. I guess I'm just trying to imagine somebody going on a journey and fighting themselves, because it's such an intense journey. It's such an intense situation. It's like, that. What does that look like to be? Like, what you doing? How you feel? You all right? Yeah, I'm just trying not to.
Yeah, I've been there. I've held space for a cousin of mine, you know, and his cousin, you know, he was in the streets. You know, he was really in the streets, man. He's had a tough life. And I held space for him, you know, and I had to, you know, this is before I, you know, started doing it on the level that I am. This is when I first started doing it. I'm just like, you got to try this. So he tried it, you know, we were there and I had put on this playlist and he wanted to like talk and stuff like that. But I was just like, you know, just close your eyes. Don't say nothing. Let this music just marinate. And I could see him, you know, he was like kind of, you know, moving around and he just got up and he was like, you know, he fussed and he walked outside. It's because he was fighting his tears. Mm. You know, there was something that happened in his past that was very, you know, heartfelt, you know, I would say a bit of grievance had popped up. And, you know, he's used to being tough. He's not, you know, so he had an experience, but for the most part, when I'm working with people, you know, I've worked with them before, you know, and after. If they need to contact me, if they need me to be there for an emergency out of their experience, I'll be there too. But then, you know, I was holding space for people in person. Now I'm just focusing on the integration. You know, I'm focusing on reaching people wherever they are. And, you know, for the most part, I have a playlist. You know, I would say that's my secret sauce. Right. I have this playlist with special music that with certain songs that come in at certain times. Right. You know, so I treat it like a journey. You know, you have your beginning. But when you get to that peak there, I need certain songs that hit and is to make it to where you can't fight it. That's the goal. I want you to be in such a space that you can't fight the tears. Right. And they just come out. And for me, I'm like, job well done. That's really the goal. Like, if you don't have nothing to cry about, then you're just going to be an amazing experience, right? But if you got something in there that you've been blocking and you've been holding on to, that is in the way of the amazingness. That is the breakthrough. You're breaking through the stuff that you've been holding on to. And when that heart opens, and this is the thing too, this is what I tell everybody. As soon as you cry, your journey is going to go to another level. Because it opens your heart up. Because now when your heart's open, now you're fully open. You know what I mean? And I think that's a part of it. You laugh, it warms you up. Right? You laugh and just everything's funny. And then next thing you know, we got you right where we want you. So let's go ahead and work on this heart a little bit. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, an emotion or a thought or a picture or your grandma or whatever, you know, your child, like these things, they're there. So it's like preparing us to look at it. And to deal with it without running from it. And that ends up to be tears and expressing your, you know, how you feel about it. So you can make peace with it. You know what I mean? When you make peace with it, that's a big chunk of healing in a short amount of time.
Yeah. I'm a witness. I definitely don't still. I can not say I couldn't sleep at night, but I can rest easy since I had that experience, and as the only way I guess I could have, you know, met my unborn child and just said, hey, please just forgive me. It just, once that journey was done, I was so much lighter. It was just, whew, you know, and the fact that I, yeah, just that to me is still amazing for me to say, I had a conversation with my unborn child. That sounds crazy, but it's like, yeah, but you can't tell me I didn't do that. You cannot tell me it was a real conversation. It was a, I can tell you when it happened. I can tell you when y'all conceived me. And I was like, really, for real, when? And it was just that the day, of course, I remember it, but to have that conversation outside of myself, it was, you couldn't tell me that wasn't real. It was deep.
So as you're talking, you were kind of breaking up, but I get the gist of what you were saying, but I feel I wouldn't be a good friend if I didn't let you know that you were breaking up a little bit.
Oh, but okay.
Okay. Just letting you know.
Yeah. I appreciate that. What didn't you hear? It was just me saying that, you know, it was such a real experience for me to, and even hear, you know, to have a conversation. But yeah, it was definitely a real experience for me, tangible, and definitely freeing is basically what I was saying. It's, you know, I'm glad that I had that experience, and I'm pretty convinced that if it weren't for that experience, it would still be a heavy, you know, heavy thing on me. So yeah, for sure.
And I like to think, like, when we talk about light, you know, becoming light, mm-hmm, you know, sometimes we might think of the actual light. I think that also pertains to, like, being lighter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Being lighter. As I think, you know, when we're talking about my eye and land of the heart, having a light heart, you know, and mm-hmm, when I think about my experiences and things that I was holding on to, people are holding on to so much, you know. I just feel like this is an underrated experience, because I know it's good for PTSD, anxiety, depression, and other addiction. I know it's there, but I feel like this is the stuff that they don't emphasize. And I think you can't emphasize something you've never experienced, right? And when we're dealing with a lot of people or a lot of organizations, you know, I think the main focus is the mental, you know, for mental health. And all that does is just tie back into people who are, you know, licensed, right? They benefit more from it than anybody else, right? No, not knocking them, but it's a game at the end of the day, because this is something that our ancestors have been doing. So now you regulate it and then you go through all this. You got to jump through hoops. They turn some people away if you don't have, like, if, you know, they screen you. So if you're, like, experiencing bipolar or schizophrenia or things like this, they won't even work with you, right? Now, from a shamanic point of view, this is just a spiritual crisis that people are dealing with. You know what I mean? But from a clinical point of view, it's just mental health, right? So me, personally, I feel it just takes a special type of experience, controlled experience, for someone to work through the things that they're dealing with and to understand that these things, these voices that you're hearing, it may just be your spiritual gifts that no one is helping you to embody and helping you to integrate into your life, right? That's all anybody is a medium, you know. I have somebody who's clairvoyant, you know, clairaudient, clairsentient. They hear stuff, they see stuff, but they're considered spiritual, you know, teachers, right? Spiritual, right. Just spiritual. These people with schizophrenia is spiritual too. They just don't have anyone to show them that this is not a disability. This is actually a gift that you have.
Oh, I see what you mean. I got mm-hmm. you. Interesting. That's never thought about it like that, but that's interesting. I know I see a lot of, you know, people on the street, especially in LA, and, you know, I always wonder who, especially when they're, you know, they're talking to themselves and they're having a good time and, you know, they're smiling, laughing, whatever. And I don't know. I just, I have a sensitivity for people like that, or people that are in that state. And I just, just makes me wonder, what got you there? What were you, who were you, what were you 10 years ago? There was a woman that was homeless at the airport in LA, and they finally found a place for her, but you know, she was purported to have been like an agent, like an LA agent. And the first time that I encountered her, I was in the bathroom and she was in a stall and she was talking to herself, of course, but you would have thought, I thought she was on the phone. And I thought that she was talking as if she was talking like she was talking to somebody about someone, like she was an agent, like an agent would do. She's such and such, and she's such and such, a, you know, agent talker, you know, trying to get this person ready for a gig or whatever. And then I saw her, you know, in the mornings and saw her, you know, just walking through the airport. And then at night, she would just sit up in one spot, and that was where she slept until the morning. And she had a routine and everything. And I just my heart would go out to the people that I would see and just say, wow, just, you know, one lady, I actually sat beside her. And after seeing her for a while, I just sat beside her one day, just sat down. And it was an older Black woman. And I just would watch her, and I would just sat there for a while. And then I just started talking to her, you know, says, do you have a family? You know, is there anybody that's here? What should we ask her, what her name was? And the fact that I asked her, you know, I told her who I was and I asked her what her name was. And she just kind of looked at me like, you're talking to me. You know, you actually want to know, you know, does have you eaten today? You know, that sort of thing. You talking to me? Yes, ma'am. I'm talking to you. And after that, I didn't see her after that. I don't know if she went on or wherever, but yeah, there's a lot of people like that that my heart goes out to, and I don't have the conversation every single time, but I do make a mental note to just to give them, you know, a moment of my time to say, hey, you know, I see you, or I don't know what I can offer you. I don't know that you even care, but I see you. Yeah.
That's important. You know, my grandmama used to say, you know, as far as people, heart helping people, you never know who you're helping, because, you know, it could be an angel. You know, it could be someone who's really special. I believe angels are disguised in people who people shine upon and, you know, maybe not giving it attention to, you know. So, yeah, I definitely get a feeling, deep connection with people who are in unfortunate situations. You know, it's just something about it. Because you're helping them in an area that they may not be getting that much help. They may be just getting the bare minimum, you know? So for someone to have a compassion towards them and really help them, I think that says a lot about the individuals who do feel that way. Because when you're looking at the universe, right? Regardless of what people believe, you know, it's all about yin and yang. It's all about balance. So whoever is dealing with certain stuff, I feel like the universe know the type of people who will be perfectly to assist them with whatever they're going through in a major way.
Do you think that there's a major drawback to whether they're, since this is a platform for HSPs, but just people in general, when you mention people who have the inability to cry for, you know, their upbringing or whatever happened in their lives as children, do you think that it's, or what would be the negative portion or the negative, what would be a negative circumstance of someone staying in that state of not willing or not being able to release in the way of crying? Could they still have a breakthrough, maybe, or is it required that they release in that way, you think?
I think it comes down to, I mean, there's many different things. I'm going to just wing it in this. Some people are just, I like to look at that movie. I like the movie Soul, right? So when we're looking at the movie Soul, it depicts what happens to people when they become in a dark space. And when people are in really dark spaces, that is a breeding ground for other things to be in their space with them. And I think a lot of these people are dealing with dark forces, you know, our energies. Now, and in some cases, you know, you may have some people that just go to work, they can be working people, you know, they can function every day, but they just may, I mean, that's interesting. Some people are just, and it depends on who we're talking to, right? Because childhood experiences, I mean, think about it. You know, when people go to the military, if I'm not mistaken, they're broken. Right, you break them
oh,
in.
They try to, yeah, for the most
if
part.
I'm not,
yeah.
I think some, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, military is different now, but it, to my understanding, with my lack of understanding, you go through so much stuff until you're not the same person you was. Something happens in your brain,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a breakdown. That's intended. They want to mold you to, yeah. That's true.
So,
and I say
I would
for
say
some,
something
I mean,
happens.
If you know the game, then yeah. But for the most part, yeah. That's
yeah,
true.
I don't
that's
know the game for show, but I do know that, okay, for example, you know, Mike Tyson. Now, for everybody don't know, Mike Tyson does advocate for mushrooms and stuff, but mm-hmm. I don't know. A lot of people may not know how he became Mike Tyson, right? So
I know the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know the story. So he used to get chased home all the time. He used to be scared. And then something broke. I go, well, I don't want to say something broke, but something snapped. Something happened drastically to turn him into a monster. Yeah. And what happened was someone took his bird and snapped the neck of the bird. And you know how much he loves his bird. So I guess everyone has their breaking point, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and yeah. If you're looking at it from a shamanic point of view, not necessarily Mike Tyson, when people go through traumatic experiences, there's a soul, something happens, a part of their soul leaves, right? The soul loss, and then something fills that space up. And these things that fill the space up is foreign, something foreign that is not necessarily you, that seen an opening because of your traumatic experience, and that is filling that space, which can also be a reason for not feeling connected. You know what I mean? This is, what's the word? I guess soul loss, you know, in a way. You're not connected. So there's different ways to look at it, you know. Just something happens in the brain, too, maybe, that allows them to be disconnected. Because that's spiritual. I mean, that's, I would say that's a soulful act, right, to cry. I think that's a soulful, because, you know, who cries and lies at the same time unless you're just an actor? Like, you know, of course you can be a kid and cry because you don't want to get a whooping, right? But if you're hurt and you're crying and you really need to express something that's been in your soul, then that's a lot of times people are now can be honest, right? Because so many people are hiding that. So it's, you know, it's a lot of different ways to look at it. I just know that... my goal, my aim is to get people to tap into that part of them, because once you do cry, once you do release, then I think at that point, you got it. I feel like now you're connected. I feel like source can get through to you now, because all that gunk and that whatever was in the way of that can't interfere the connection that you are now about to tap into.
Yeah. Has it been your experience that that once someone is open, that they stay open? How, or have you ever had anyone or an experience where someone reverts back because, you know, maybe the trauma's been too long, or, you know, just curious. It's just something I just thought about when you said that. Like, yeah. Have you been able to keep that person as long as they've been on the journey with you and they're willing to be on the journey with you? Are they continually open, or do they kind of just, you know, revert back, or, you know, regress back into a state of emotional stagnancy?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's a good question, because, you know, there's factors. So the first factor is, you know, how much they take, right? Mm-hmm. The second factor is, and I guess we're talking about the people that I work with, right? So
yes.
The people that I work with, you know, everybody's dealing with different stuff, right? And it really comes down to the work that they're willing to do, okay? And, you know, sometimes people may be in certain environments. They may have a certain lifestyle that allows them to, that doesn't support them going to the new them, right? Some, it could be people's, you know, relationships. It could be people's jobs that make it more challenging, because when you go through a breakthrough, you actually need to integrate your experience. So now that you're open, you need to kind of like continually do certain stuff so that way it can continue, right? Integrate it in your life. You make changes. So the experience is the opportunity, right? It opens you up to it. Now, it depends on you, though, because some people are spiritually gifted. Mm-hmm. And if you're spiritually gifted and now you're going through an initiation, it may just open you up to more things that you just have to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you are spiritually gifted, you need to have spiritual tools. You need to have tools and practices to help you stay on that path. And because once you start to open up, you start to awake and your light gets brighter, it's going to be obvious for certain things that don't want you to have a bright light, you know? Yeah. So these tools and practices. So to answer your question, the people that take it serious, you know, the people that who really are on a journey, then they progress. Some people just want an experience. You know, so in my eyes, and I have to be very compassionate, right? Because sometimes it may not seem like they're making any improvement, but in reality, they are, because it looks different for different people. So every time I talk to people, you know, I like to ask them, like, do you feel like it's benefited you? You know, I'll say this. There's been one time I worked with a lady, and this is in my beginning stages. My goal was to get her in alignment with her purpose. She was lost, you know, she didn't know what she wanted to do. She didn't like her job. I was just like, well, what if you can, you know, in my mind, because I'm doing what my purpose, you know, I'm in line with my purpose. So, you know, she was looking for guidance on what she needed to do. So she had an experience. She had a great experience. I was holding the space for her at the time. But I learned, I didn't know what she was dealing with and to what degree she was dealing with it at home. So we would integrate, right? We would integrate. And I noticed that even though she was having good experiences and she was making improvements, it seemed like she was reverting back. Mm. And that's because what she was dealing with was above my league, right? It was out of my league. But if I was to do work with her again, it can't be some, like, you know, integrate, you have your experience in a couple calls. Like, it has to be something and you have to be dedicated, right? If I knew what I knew now, I would have made sure that she was dedicated, and we would have only focused on what comes up, not necessarily trying to reach a specific goal, because all these things were coming up, because sometimes people are not honest with themselves. Right.
Yeah.
You know, once you have your experience, it's going to be clear what's in the way. And then they would have to be honest with that being in the way. And I'm not operating. I was trying to operate as a guru. I was trying to be someone's guide. I'm no longer trying to be no one's guide. I'm trying to guide them to their own guide. And that was the mistake that I made. So, you know, I just learned so much that this individual was dealing with, that had I known, and I wasn't being so impulsive and feeling like I'm this healer here to heal everybody, you know, I would have known that, you know, to be more realistic with what and what not to expect from someone who's going through something I may not be aware of.
So the difference in
I'm sorry, your I didn't hear that part.
The difference in your facilitation now, what does that look like? Is it more observation and less input?
So are you saying, what does that look like in moving for you, forward when I'm dealing with people?
Yeah.
Like, what would I do differently?
Yeah. Is it more of an observation on your end and less input?
So,
but you're saying that there's a difference in how you're showing up now. You know, when you're with someone, is it more of an observation that you just you're there to hold space and less input in what's actually happening, unless you're, you know, you're directed to, I guess, like you said, not just hold space, but be that support.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about. So I was trying to read your lips too. So
can you hear me? Is my mic on?
It was going in and out, and this time it was, the outs was longer than usual. But I think I got what you're saying. So let me just go ahead and, so I would say, I would have to be, now I have a whole list of things to help screen people. You know, I have a lot more things to ask. I'm a lot more thorough in what's going on. And now I'm not showing up as, you know, someone who's trying to heal them. And questions that I ask will let me know what are they willing to do, the work that they're willing to do, where they are. And also, to be honest, this lady, she didn't even believe in God at the time. I believe she was that, you know, I don't even think she believed in God. So that's challenging, right? Yeah. You know, not to judge anybody what they do, but if you don't believe in any type of higher power, then what happens when a higher power experience comes, but you don't recognize it for being that experience? So now it becomes even more challenging. Mm-hmm. So I prefer to work with people who do have some type of spiritual connection, right? Mm-hmm. And then that spiritual connection guides them and it gets me out the way. If they don't have a spiritual connection, they're looking for to me to be that for them.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that anymore. It's just not the place to be. So moving forward, I am a lot more thorough in my screening, and I'm a lot more. And at that time, I didn't care. I was helping any and everybody. You know, I didn't care who you was. If you're interested in what I have, you know, and I was excited to get my feet wet and try this out. And but out of all the experiences that I've had, you know, it was only that. That was the only experience that I felt like we didn't get the results we were looking for long term. But during her experience, she definitely had a great experience because she was tapped into things and she was clear on what she wanted. The thing is, once you're clear on what you want, you have to do the work to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's the work that comes after your experience is what's going to determine what happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that sounds like it sounds fulfilling. I also, too, want to be a place for someone to feel safe. When they're on their journey, you know what I mean? I'd like to learn how to provide that set and setting and space for someone. Because you said something that was interesting, your playlist, and I guess just the Virgo in me or the inquisitive part of me, when you said that, it made me think, well, how do you know if everybody's journey is different? So let's say there's two of us in a journey, in a setting together. And who's to say that the music that you have set up is going to take me to the same point as the other person? Does that make sense, my question?
Yeah. And you sound a lot clearer. I mean, it's A1. You're plush. You're killing it with the...
I got a different camera going right now. But yeah, I'm going to have to piece it together. But yeah.
And yeah, it's good. I'm like, man, I enjoy it. yeah, I would say... So, you know, I try not to be a perfectionist, right? Because that's easy to be, try to get everybody to have the same experience, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the goal. Like, I set my intentions of what I want to have, and then I put the best of the best music I could possibly find and hope for the best, right? Mm-hmm. But if I'm working with HSPs, I'm like, because if you like me, and it works for me, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Like, I'm sharing what works for me with people, mm-hmm, versus, like, random stuff. Like, I'm already vetting this. I'm like, oh, man, this is touching me. Like, I be boo-hooing, you know? So I that's the cool thing about it, is, like, I'm... Like, songs I've listened to over and over and over and over and over again, as I'm always finding new music to add to the playlist. These are songs that, because here's the thing, like once the mushrooms hit, you're already sensitive. And when the right song hits with it, you gotta, I'm trying to make it impossible for you not to have a good experience. Like that's the goal. Like I want it to be so good where you just gotta let it happen and just, but it won't be the same for everybody, right? Because you know, you're doing a certain amount of work. So it depends on the work that you've been doing prior to your experience is going to determine what your experience is going to be.
My experience with your strain earlier this year. Yeah. I pick it up. I think about it. I put it down, mentally. When I say that, I think about that day, and it was a hard day for me. Not one that I actually even really talked to you about. I did, but I didn't go into any in depth. That was it didn't make me frightened to do mushrooms, but it was a dark trip. It was. Started out with the giggles and the yawns. And then I guess my mind, having had the experience of my brother passing in January, end of January, and our relationship, you know, where it was when he passed away. I guess I thought that I was prepared mentally, as much as I feel like I could have been, because I waited a while. I got it. And I didn't do it right away. I think I waited a couple of weeks because I knew at the time that my state of mind was, you know, why just the family stuff that was going on. I knew, my mind is not clear, you know, enough to do this. And when I thought that it was, that was... it was interesting because I was in my body enough to be cognizant of everything, but I was more mobile than I normally am. Maybe because I've done it in confined spaces. Like I said, I'm in my van, so you know, I'm not walking around that much in my van. And this time it was in an apartment, and you know, my experience was I'm walking around, I'm laughing until I'm not. And then I just had this desire to go and get in the shower. And I'm in the shower, like I'm in the shower, I'm out in the shower. I'm in the shower, I'm walking around, I'm drying off, I'm trying to calm down. I lay down, I give, and all of this is like I'm laughing at myself because I'm like, what in the world is going on with you? And then I get back in the shower. It's like I'm fighting off the nausea because the nausea was just, it was intense. And then I look in the mirror and I'm looking at myself and I'm like, is my right arm longer than, bigger than my, it was just, things just started getting distorted. And I was like, I gotta lay down. And I finally just laid down and finally got myself into some sleep. And I slept until I slept it off. And it was like, whew, that was a doozy. That was a doozy.
So you was nauseous the entire time?
Pretty much.
Did you eat before? Did you eat before? You did it?
Not too much. No, I typically don't eat a lot. I might eat something light, maybe some fruit or maybe coat my stomach, maybe, you know, have a piece of toast or some tea or something, but, or have the tea with what I'm doing, you know, not extra tea, but no, I don't eat a lot because I know my experiences have been nausea. So yeah, I don't typically eat a lot at all.
Do you remember what you ate? And it was a while ago.
Probably some fruit. Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. I'll probably eat some fruit. Nothing heavy at all. But like I said, I think it was more mental. It was intense because I did it all. And
that was four. You said, how much was it? How many?
I think
was it four?
Yeah, four and a half. somewhere between four.
And when you did it, you say, would you say like it got more uncomfortable once your brother came up? Is that when you started to be a little bit more antsy?
Yeah, I think it was. I think that was the mental, is that my mind was not, I was going through, just like I said, the depression, the job situation, you know, the what am I doing here? It's the winter time. My body's going through changes. My brother left. I was kind of, you know, kind of angry about his passing and us not being able to resolve our differences. And, you know, my mom and just some of the things that I heard that she said, you know, around the time that he passed, and the fact that we hadn't talked, and, you know, just, I guess, me being concerned about her well-being, despite us not talking, I still care. You know, I still am concerned about you. I know now you don't have anybody there. You know, your baby boy is gone and your prized possession. And, you know, I know probably what your state is. And as much as, you know, we're estranged, I'm feeling all of that. The highly sensitive in me is feeling, well, why does she not want to talk to me? And, well, she needs me and I need her right now. And, you know, why are you saying that I'm not part of the family? And, you know, you're not answering my calls and I'm not really invited to the funeral, or maybe I shouldn't go. Just all of that in my head. It was just I had a lot mentally going on. And at the time that I decided to partake, I thought that I was in a place that I needed it. I wanted to seek out some answers and what is all of this, and I'm ready to confront it. And I don't really, and yeah, I guess I did. I did, because it was just the things that came up in the midst of that journey that day, it was intense. And I guess I wasn't ready for that much intensity, if I can say it that way. So I was like, yeah, I met my match. Maybe I should have waited. and even not in that, it wasn't even a, it wasn't a conclusion of, yep, I should have waited. It was just, this is what the experience was. And yeah, okay. When are you going to do it again? Not sure. You know, that sort of, for me, it has to be, I reverence it so much. I have, you know, people that I know that'll just do it for shits and giggles. And I'm like, this is a whole lot more than shits and giggles to me. It's right. I respect this thing so much that if I got to wait, you know, another year or so to take another journey, then I want it to be intentional. It's always intentional for me. When I say, you got it, this is the most powerful thing I have. Now, I don't venture out into, you know, I've never done meth. I've never done Molly. I've never done ecstasy, never done any of that stuff. Never. I was curious about ecstasy, but you just don't know what's out there. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not that curious to, you know, try something that I don't know, you know, where it came from. But the plant medicine, I mess with that for sure. Yeah. But it's a respect for sure. It's definitely,
absolutely,
it's definitely a respect to it.
I wanted to ask you, because all this stuff was coming up, did you feel like you got the answers that you were looking for
that day? No. Because I think when I chose to go to sleep, I think that it was me just saying, I want out. I want out. So I'm just gonna, you know, take the shower, and then I just kind of lay down, covered myself up, and I think I had the yawns and I was fighting the yawns. And once I gave into the yawns, it was like, okay, just lay here. And I just laid under I have a weighted blanket, and I had that over me, and I just kind of just laid there until I fell asleep. And then I remember waking up and feeling better, because it was gone.
you know, washed over me. I was calm again. I didn't have the nauseous feeling anymore. My head was still kind of like still in it, like, wow, man, that was, because I held on to the mental part that day, the rest of that day, the next day. I just remember thinking like, man, that was wild. Because I think I sent you the message like, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Wild trip. Yeah. And I didn't know if it was just not to blame it on anything, because I've tried different strains and some that I found that have been a little bit more potent than others. You know, Golden Teachers was me meeting my, I think it was, no, Kobe was when I met my unborn child, was on Kobe. Golden Teachers was pretty interesting. Penis Envy, I've tried that, the actual mushroom, and I've tried the gummy. And I actually did the gummy in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta, and that one made me hella nauseous. I didn't even have an experience mentally or anything. I just remember, okay, I took it, and I just got nauseous and real anxious. And I think I actually threw up, and I hadn't eaten anything that morning, because I prefer to early morning. As soon as I get up, you know, break of dawn, kind of early day is when I'd like to do my journeys. And yeah, that one, I wouldn't even say it was a nightmarish type of a journey. It was just, yeah, this is too intense. Maybe I took a little too many of them. It was, I think it was 4 grams. So, but it was, yeah, in the gummy form, which I wasn't really used to the edible form of, I just go straight for the actual shroom, the actual mushroom. So that was different. But yeah, doesn't scare me off. It's just like, hey, you gotta be ready. That's just what it teaches me. You gotta be ready.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you though, like, if it wasn't the day of, if it wasn't the day after, do you feel like you eventually got the answers that she was looking for within that week of doing it the last time? Our understanding of what it is that you were seeking?
No, I still, I guess to this day, it's still not resolved. I guess my feelings of, you know, indifference or angst when it comes to my brother. No, because I didn't know what I was searching for necessarily, if that makes sense. It was just...
What were your intentions when you did it?
Well, clarity for one, and I'm going to move around because I don't want to lose this signal. Clarity for one, mm-hmm. But I didn't have any intended goal of clarity as far as like, I want to answer for why my brother left like he did. No, I didn't have that thought. It was just, I think it's time, because it had been some years. Like I said, this was this year. The last time that I had done shrooms was COVID, so that was 2021. So it was just for me, I guess it was, it's time for me to try this again. You know, I feel like it's been a minute, and because of what I had just experienced as far as, you know, my job and my brother, it was, but I didn't have any, I was open to whatever it was. It wasn't like, I want to meet you on the other side and I want to have a conversation. No, it was just, I want to be at peace. And if this is going to give me some answers to get to peace, then I'm open for it. And so do I feel like I got that peace as of now? No, because even after that, I had dreams about both of my brothers. I had a dream about both of my brothers came to me. They both passed away in January, interestingly enough, years apart, 30 years apart. But within a few days in January, my oldest brother passed away, like, I think January the 23rd. And Quincy passed away like 24, 25th. So for them to come to me in a dream, and this was after the trip, the journey that I had, they came to me in a dream. It was always that, and I hadn't had a dream about my oldest brother in a long time, but he used to come to me, and he always would come to me healthy, but he died of AIDS. And when he passed away, me, my mother, and my brother were around his bedside, and he was a skeleton. So whenever he would come to me in a dream, he's healthy. or I would go to wherever he would be, which is kind of interesting. But I would always go and visit him and catch him up on what's going on in my life. And in those dreams in the past, I would always wonder, why am I coming to catch you up with what's going on with me? And then I would have the realization, oh, because you're not really here. And this particular dream that I had with both of my brothers is they came to me. And mm-hmm. I knew, it's like I'm let's say I'm in my apartment. And I had I had the intuition that someone was coming to visit me. And they literally, my brother came, knocked on the door. And my relationship with my older brother was, we were like this. You know, he's 10 years older than me, but we were very, very close. And he comes in first and we're catching up. Like in my dreams of past, I'm explaining, I'm telling him how I'm doing. And they're healthy. They're both healthy. But my brother that had just recently passed away, he comes in behind my brother, my older brother, and he's just kind of standing there. And I'm aware that he's there behind him, but he's looking down and we don't have any interaction in the dream, but he's there. And so, you know, I woke up, you know, angry. I've had, you know, different thoughts of you know, anger since then. Just not able to reconcile because he's not here. You know what? But we were estranged for a long time before he passed away. So, you know, there's that. So it's not that I have any regrets of anything that I wish that I would have said to him. It was things that he said to me and said, you know, that were hurtful that he never apologized for. So that was kind of like, well, you know, you've acknowledged that you were wrong, but not to me. And so we never had a chance to clear it up. So that's the part, I guess, that was bothersome, hurtful, you know. Yeah. I didn't know what the trip would do to make me feel, you know, better about that or not. As I've said, it is what it is. I can't change it. It ain't coming back.
You say it just highlighted the issue. Like basically just made it clear that this is an issue. This is things that's going on within your spirit.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of clarity in a way.
Absolutely. That's as much clarity as I said, as I'm going to get. And I guess, you know, it is, like I said, it is what it is. I got to be okay with it. Well, I don't have to be, but I choose to be, you know?
Yeah. Some things don't just go away at a snap of a finger. Sometimes it can highlight what's in there, and then which gives us some things that takes the time. It's just slowly chipping away. It's slowly chipping away or intentionally working on these things, especially things that we probably, you know, can't really control, you know. Mm-hmm. Relationships and things like that can be some of the toughest things to deal with. So especially when you mention your mom and brother and things like that, you know, we're talking about things that have been maybe dealing with for a while. So, certain things are a little bit more heavier than others. But the good thing about it is this, we are able to be clear on, oh, this is something that I could work on from this point on.
Yeah. So, man, is there anything else that you would like to add to this podcast, to this episode, anything that you want to share as far as, you know, where you're going with your, I would say, practice, or what your intentions are moving forward with how you intend to help people?
I would say my intention is to put myself in a position where I could be versatile, universal, you know, and not be in a box and travel. So the main thing is for me to get out of the way and help people. You know, the goal is for self-discovery. You know, there's a lot of reasons where people do, you know, mushrooms, but I would say, you know, self-discovery for those who are seeking to answers those who are trying to be in touch with their spiritual selves, those who are gifted and feel that they are feel like they know they're supposed to be doing something, you know, and just looking for a little assistance. I would say those are my specialties, as these are the things that I were seeking. But for the most part, I don't have anything specific more to share. I think we've covered a decent amount. And, you know, I think this was a great, in HSP, you know, if there's any men, you know, watching, if you think you're highly sensitive or an empath, I would see that more as a gift and something that can unlock parts of you that can help you navigate the world that we're in today. Because if you have it and you haven't tapped into it, then that could possibly be a blockage in your life, in your path. So if that's something you think you are dealing with, then please look into it. You know, it's I think the world needs more people to embrace it, because of the world we're living in. If you're doing the same thing, if you're showing up the same way year after year after year and things are not changing, then perhaps this could be a healthy alternative. So that way we can start seeing some changes in the world, because people need healing. People need assistance. And people think being tough is a way to assist people because you've been tough. But everybody's not tough. Sometimes people just need to express themselves and need a safe space to be. It doesn't take a lot. Sometimes it just takes someone who's willing to let people be themselves. And that could help change generational curses in itself.
I agree. Yeah, it's okay for men to cry. It's okay for you to release. Yeah, there's a podcast that I've been watching, and it's geared toward men. I don't know if you've watched Pivot. I don't know if they're three ex-football players, but they have a platform where they bring on just men in general. I think they have had some women on there, but I think it's geared to, you know, men having a safe space to be vulnerable and to be, you know, open, and they're not necessarily highly sensitive, but I think it's a good. It's a good place for them to be able to say, hey, you can come on here and we can talk about whatever, and you can feel safe to, you know, be yourself. And if it includes you crying or becoming emotional, we got you, you know. So I think it's good to have those platforms and podcasts. I think it's going to be more of them, you know, where men are opening up, because, yeah, it's either going to be go on those shows or find a place to be vulnerable and open up and release, or, you know, go shoot up some. And yeah, that's crazy. It's happening, yeah. But, you know, it's already volatile enough in the world. We don't need any more aggression like that. So,
right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to lastly say before we close that, you know, you and I have shared some endeavors offline, and I'm really excited about where that can go and how that can, you know, be contributed into the community and how we can help people. So I'm looking forward to more conversations about getting that off the ground and however that looks, because I definitely don't want to be in a box. It's constraints just make me itch. So
yeah. I get that. For sure.
And also I want to say, yeah, it has been a while. I love always being in connection with you. I think you're a very special individual, and I want to say that right here for the public to hear. I don't have to have had touched you and given you a hug to know this. And it's not happenstance that you and I have connected. And, you know, I can't wait to give you a hug. And I'm going to have to figure out how to make that happen soon, get back to the West Coast. And we're going to have to either meet, or I'm going to have to come directly to you, whatever. But yeah, it's going to happen. So
thank you. And likewise, you know, we doing the best we can what we have. I appreciate you. You're definitely special. We have a lot in common. You know, we're here now and we've been in touch. So you know, that's not by accident. And I'm grateful for how things are panning out. And I'm looking forward to discussing more on our future endeavors as well.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be that long before we do another podcast episode. Maybe I'll grab you if you're not too busy. Let's say in the next 30 days or sooner, depending on what we have to share, if we got anything major going on. We did, I did start a school community. Right now it's just me and Pierre in it for now, but we're opening it up to anyone out there that if you feel unheard, misunderstood, unseen, you're looking for a tribe to vibe with, it's the Sensitive Soul community on the school platform. So we welcome you. We looking to get started and share some really cool information, courses, conversations. So join us, leave us a message. You just leave something on the school community page, and we'll be elated to connect with you. So if you got anything you got anything else to share, Pierre, before I shut this down?
Oh, that's it. You covered everything.
Got it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Well, until the next time and the next best time, everyone have a blessed evening.
Yes. Peace and bless.
Peace and bless.